Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 13. We're going to look at a passage tonight that's very familiar to just about anyone and everyone who has been in church for any length of time. It's a passage that really speaks volumes to who we are as Christians, to what we are called to do, and to the influence that we have in the world around us. So that's in Matthew chapter 5 and beginning with verse 13. God's word says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." May God add blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. We look at a passage of Scripture like this, and we often wonder, or a lot of new Christians anyway, what is Jesus talking about? I mean, we have salt and we have light. And we hear about good works and glorifying God. Well, when we look at the first, when we look at salt and when we look at light, those are metaphors. They are illustrations that give us a point. Now, the point of the salt, when we look at it, is to be a couple of different things. Of course, we know by salt, salt can be coarse or it can be fine. Depending on what you're going to use it for is depending on what you're getting and what you're going to purchase it for. Salt was used by the ancients, by these folks here in Jesus' day, as an emblem for wit and wisdom. But the Lord gave it something much greater. He gave it a meaning of something much, much greater and much larger and much deeper. You see, when we look at the Beatitudes and we look at where we have came from the very beginning, we look at the character of a Christian. And we see that that character is formed and it is developed through many different aspects. And when we speak about it, we speak about the character of a Christian as it is a tree. And its root is in the soil of meekness and humility. It is watered by godly sorrow. It is strengthened through desire of righteousness. Jesus warned His disciples that the possession of this character, the development of this character in our own lives, it would not gain the world's favor. But instead, it would gain just the opposite. It would provoke persecution and it would provoke reproach. But such as had this salt in themselves, they would never be without the beneficial influence into society around them. Now think of that. The Beatitudes has built the Christian character. And because of that Christian character, we're going to be reproached. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be pushed away. We're going to be complained about. We're going to be lied about. We're going to be injured. We're going to be hurt. But now Jesus says that we are the salt. So that salt is going to have an influence in the society around us. So even though they don't like us, even though they don't like Christians, we're still going to have an influence in their life. That's something powerful. It's something very powerful, and it's something that should be encouraging to you tonight to know that even though folks don't like who you are as a Christian, even though they're pushing away from you and they're trying to tell you, stay away, they're still watching your life because it is an influence in theirs. So what about salt? Salt served two purposes in Jesus' day. It was a preservative and it was a medicine. It was an antiseptic. It helped develop, it helped cure, and helped prevent infections. So when we think about those two things, and we think about our Christian life, we have to remember we are representing those two things in our daily walk. First of all, a preservative. We are the light into this dark world around us. If we don't live the life that Christ has placed inside of us, if we don't take seriously the Christianity that we embrace and the Christianity that we claim, then our influence is going to be for nothing. We're not going to have it. We're going to lose it. It's very easy to lose your influence in the world today. It's very easy to get caught up in the world, get caught up in all of the rotting things that are out there, all of the rottenness, not just the obvious ones that we can think about, which is the sexual immoralities and everything that's going on like that. But it's very easy to get caught up in bitterness and get caught up in anger. It's very easy to get caught up in the things that want to stand between us and other people. It's very easy to lose track of love and forgiveness. And it's very easy to get derailed and sidetracked in those things. So if we're to be a preservative of the things of God and of the life of a Christian, if we are to be a preservative of the Beatitudes that Christ just gave in verses 3 through 12, if we're to be a preservative of those things, our life has to be that of a disciple. It's not just important that we have the life of a disciple, it's necessary. We have to take that seriously, and we have to constantly be on the lookout. And, you know, every one of us is apt to drop our guard and fail at some point in time. And I'm not talking about the slip-ups of life. And I'm not trying to slide in an easy excuse here either. But let's just be honest. We're all human and we're all fleshly people. And we all have the ability to lose track and to drop our guard from time to time. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is talking about is just getting led astray and for the salt to be no longer useful. And I know people who will tell me that they are Christian. I've had them tell me, I'm Christian, I've been saved, but I'm no longer useful. I have done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and even though they're back in church, and even though they're living in church, they feel like they're no longer useful. They have no influence for Christ. There can be some genuine feelings about that, but there could also be some guilty feelings that are coming from the enemy and coming from the devil into those things. Jesus tells us it's possible because he says if the salt loses its savor or loses its ability, loses its capability to do what it's meant to do, then it is useless. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out. Now when we're thinking about being a preservative, preservative of the things of God, the will of God, the work of God, there's no greater time in history than right now to be considered the salt of Jesus Christ. Our world today is crumbling around us. And I'm not talking about a literal crumbling, but the buildings and things of that nature. I hope you know that I'm talking about a spiritual crumbling. when we watch television and we see the news, or we look at it on the internet and we watch what's going on around the world, we don't see so much of it here in this little area. But it hasn't been long ago I watched a broadcast coming from California. And there was a gathering of people outside of a state building, a big government building somewhere in California. And they were protesting Christianity. And there was a man walking around holding a sign that said, "If Jesus returns, kill him again." Just walking around, and others carrying signs just like it. That is the mindset of a lot of people toward Christianity today. Again, we don't see a lot of it in this area. That doesn't mean it won't be coming. Sooner or later, you're going to see that show up. It's going to show up in Charlotte. It's going to show up in Asheville. When it shows up in Asheville, it's not going to be long till it comes down the hill and it's going to be on Main Street Marion. And then you're going to be harassed because you're a Christian. You're going to be ridiculed. And the test is going to be put before you of your salt. Are you going to be prepared for that test? I hope so, because it's coming. Another thing salt does is it prevents infection. You see, if we maintain our walk with God, then we prevent or hold off the infection of sin in the society around us. Did you ever think of yourself as being that powerful and that much of an influence of sin in this community? That your influence and your walk with God can actually prevent the infection of sin coming into this community. That's something tonight to be thankful for. That's something tonight to humbly thank God that He has chosen you and chosen me tonight to be those people, to be that salt that's going to have that impact in our community. That isn't something to stand up and be proud and boastful over, but it's something to be humble and meek about, knowing that God has reached into our hearts and reached into our lives, and He has chosen us. He's chosen us. That gives us a great responsibility to carry that influence into this workplace and into the area around us. It gives us a great influence to work in the lives of the children of this church and to prepare them to make the right decisions at the right time when things are being faced in their lives. The grandchildren and the areas like that, the family members that we have influence of in our lives, we have the ability to work in their lives and to possibly keep the infection of sin from taking a toehold in their lives and taking them down a bad road. That's something that we worry about with our grandchildren. Are they prepared? Are we preparing them right? Are we preparing them well enough to make the right decisions when things are presented to them? We can't protect them from things being presented, but we can prepare them for it. We are that salt. And I don't know about you tonight, but myself, I don't like the idea of becoming worthless. I don't like the idea of becoming useless in God's kingdom. I don't like the idea of being considered cast out and trodden underfoot and no longer being able to be an influence. I want to keep my heart right. I want to keep my life right. I want to keep my decisions right. I want to be an example that my grandchildren can follow. I still want to be an example that my children can follow. I want to be an example that others that are in my life can follow. Not that I'm perfect, not that I'm sinless, not that I'm without fault, not that I'm without failure. But I still want to be able to have my life as a work in progress so that folks can see it. And they can see it as an example to follow. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and the warts and all, as the saying goes. Because when folks can see me fall on my face and ask God for forgiveness, they see in them that they can do the same thing in their life. When folks see you fall on your face and ask forgiveness, they realize they can do the same thing in their life. That gives us the impression of salt and what our role is in being salt in God's kingdom. But what about light? Jesus says, you are in the light of the world. That's another very heavy influence. It also tells us something about the world, doesn't it? It tells us the world is a very dark place. It tells us the world is a very dark place spiritually, if we are the spiritual light of it. The disciples, the people that are following Jesus, and the people that are following Jesus sincerely tonight, they understand that they are that light. That the light that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that is shining through them and being projected through them. It's Jesus Christ, and who He is being projected through you. That's why it's so important for the Christian to be able to manage their walk and manage their life and do it in a correct and do it in an appropriate way. Another illustration of the light that Jesus gives is a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hid. You're not going to mistake it. Have you ever been driving into Asheville at night? Have you ever been driving into Asheville at night and you look out and you're going down maybe Tunnel Road or 240 and you start going through and you get a distance away and you can see the glowing light of the city in the distance. Over the Bocatcher Tunnel, you can see that glowing beam of light that's above that mountain there. That's what you and I look like, the Christian. That's what we look like in this dark, sinful world that's around us. The people that are lost and they're undone without Jesus, and they're wandering around, they're looking for some type of joy and some type of fulfillment in their life, and they're messing with things that are just getting them in deeper and deeper into the darkness. And yet, when they look at a child of God, they should see a beaming beacon of light off in the distance. And that light should draw them, not to us, but it should draw them to Jesus. That's the role that we play in the world that we live in tonight. It can't be hid. Who you are tonight can't be hidden. If you are a born-again child of God, you're not going to be able to put that fire out. You're not going to be able to put that flame out. You're not going to be able to hide that light that's burning inside of you. People are going to know. Even if you try to live in a worldly way, even if you try to compromise God's Word, people are still going to see that light. And then you have to wonder, if they see that light, are they going to be drawn to Jesus? But what are they going to be drawn to? That's why it's important for us to not hide, not try to hide who we are in Christ. That's where our next scripture goes, in verse 15. It says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or put it under a basket," is what the Word of God's saying, "but they put it on a candlestick." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the baskets that they had in that day, they were wove out of dry grass. So, if you take a candle, and And their candles were usually pretty large candles because they used them to light with. So you took a candle that was about this big, around about 4 inches in diameter, and it was about this tall, and it had a real thick, heavy wick in the middle of it. And then you lit that candle, and you put it on those little metal hammered out trays that they would put the candle on and have the little holder in it. And you sit there, and you've got that candle burning, and then you set a basket down on top of it. What's going to happen? There's going to be a fire. So it's not that the Bible is saying that you shouldn't put a candle. It says neither do. It says don't do. Don't try to put a candle under a basket, because it won't work. It won't snuff it out. It won't make it go out. All it will do is make a much larger, uncontrollable fire. It'll make a mess. It'll make a hazard. It'll cause a lot of problems. That's what happens in the Christian's life when we try to hide. Maybe we want to compromise the Bible. Maybe we want to get involved in some things the flesh is telling us to go over here and get involved in some things that we're not really supposed to be getting involved in. Things that we know are sin, and things that we know God's going to be displeased and dissatisfied with. But we're thinking about, well, I'd really like to go do it anyway. What you're thinking about doing is trying to snuff out or trying to put a basket over that light of Jesus Christ that's burning in your life. And the Bible's telling you it's not going to work. You can't hide it like that, because all it's going to do is make a big mess. Instead, God tells us to put it on a candlestick. Take that candle and put it on a lampstand. And that's what that candlestick is. It's a lampstand. If you remember the tabernacle in the temple, there was that large lampstand that was in there, and it was 7 candlestands, or candlesticks, all put together into one lampstand, and 7 candles were on there. And they were oil-filled candles at that time. But here, God's Word is saying, don't try to put it under a basket. Don't try to snuff it out. But put it on something tall. Put it on a lampstand so that it gets high enough and tall enough that the light brings out and it lights up the entire house. In other words, like the song goes, let your little light shine. Let your little light shine so that all around you can see it. Let your light so shine before men. Let Christ shine from inside of your life so that people can see your good works. That goes back to, or goes forward actually, to James, Jesus' half-brother, when he wrote his book. And he talks about good works, and he says, show me your works and salvation by your works, and I'll show you works by my salvation. The good works that Jesus is talking about are the good works that happens because we are saved. Not good works that take us to salvation, but good works that are there because we are saved. You see, the light that we have within us is the light that takes us to those good works. But it is a light that always points to God. It always gives God the glory. It always lets Him take credit and give credit. And that's who it should be. Because without Him, we could have no light in our life. With the light of Christ couldn't be in our heart if it wasn't for God and His love and His grace and His mercy. We could not be the salt of the earth if it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for God and His love and Christ and His saving grace. What we do should be daily a glorifying effort to God that's in heaven. This small passage of Christian influence gives us a roadmap to take out of the church and to take into the workplace, to take into the world, to take into all of the areas around us. wherever we go tomorrow. We need to go understanding that we are walking into the workplace. We're walking into the marketplace as salt. And we're walking into the marketplace as light. The salt of Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ. And what I do in here, what I do from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, what I do is to glorify God. So that people can see Jesus in me. That is our influence. That's not something that we can walk into and we can just decide that we're going to do it. It's something that we do because we have a desire in our heart. It's something we do because we love the Lord. Because we love Him. We love Him more than anything else in our lives. Because He loved us. He loved us enough to send Jesus to save us, to redeem us, to purchase us with that precious price. May God have glory in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and in everything that we are. Would you pray with me, please? Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for everything that You are, everything that You've done. Heavenly Father, we take seriously tonight the influence that we are to have in the world around us. We take seriously the indication and the teaching that we are salt and we are light, and what that means in our lives and in the lives of those that are around us. Lord, we take seriously the responsibility of not trying to hide it. Not trying to hide our Christianity, not trying to hide our salvation, but to put it up on a candlestick, put it up so that it can be a beacon for those around us, for those that may not know You. Now, Heavenly Father, I appreciate the opportunity to share Your Word. I thank You so much for what You've shown and what You've given. Lord, I thank You for those that have came tonight. Lord, I pray for those that can't be here and want to be here. Lord, I ask that You would give them strength and encouragement. Heavenly Father, as we go out into the workplace in the world, may we be the influence that glorifies You. And everything that's said and done, may You gain glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.